The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
I just want to thank God for allowing us to be here this evening. I'm so thankful for not only the opportunity to be here and share the Word of God with you tonight, but just the fact that we're here, fellowshipping with among believers. It's such a blessing. I truly, truly rejoice in that. It's been a very long week at work this week, and so I was really looking forward to being here this evening with all of you. And I want to invite you tonight. We're going to continue in our study of the Lord's Prayer. So I want to invite you to turn to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. We're going to go ahead and read that again this evening. I want to ask you if you could stand to your feet in reverence to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, the Word of God says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you once again tonight. God, we thank you for allowing us to come together in fellowship, allowing us to come and hear your word. Father, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit be the one that speaks to us tonight. Father, that we would open our hearts to receive your word, Lord. And God, I pray that all that we do would honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So as we were last week, we were viewing what I titled as the platform for prayer. And as a means of introduction, I just want to recap a little bit of the first three points that we saw. And the first point that we saw was in verse 9, in the beginning of verse 9, our intimate relationship with God. We see that as Jesus is teaching us here how to pray, is teaching his disciples here how to pray. And it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." That is our intimate relationship with God. We have a father and child relationship with our God. He's not just a distant deity that is emotionless and doesn't care for those that worship him, but we are his children. And we see in the second half of verse 9, it's praising his name and worshiping his person. We see it says, "Hallowed be thy name." And our third point last Wednesday was seeking his will and desiring the coming of his kingdom. Right, we see that in verses 10, and it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And this evening, we're going to be looking at the following three verses, but I just want to restate, as I did last Wednesday, that if we notice here, we see that the first three petitions in this prayer and the outline that Jesus is giving us here is God-centered. That we are worshiping God, we are speaking about God. It's not necessarily about us. Right? We are focusing on Jesus. We are focusing on the Lord. It says, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth." So those are the first three petitions out of the six that we see in the outline. And tonight I want us to look at verse 11. And for verse 11, I put down as a point, it's God's provision. We see God's provision. This is where we begin to ask of God. And verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. And so this shows us that we depend on God for everything. And as we depend on Him, we understand that God, our Father, is the only one who can sustain us. We could also see this as our supplication for our sustenance, right? And so we see here, another thing I want to note in this verse here, it says, give us this day, right? We also see more clearly that this should be our guide for prayer on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. And I like the request that is given here, the simplicity of the request that is given here, our daily bread. Right, there's so much that could be wrapped into these words, our daily bread. And so we must understand that we depend on God, that God is the only one that provides for us. And we can see that here. How can we know that? We see along this same chapter in verses 25 and 26, the Word of God says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And so we see that God is the one that provides for us. And many times we find ourselves in a situation where we don't necessarily view it that way, right? I was thinking about this, and there's times where we think that our strength comes from us. In order for us to receive our daily bread, we go to work, right? And we're not here saying, God, well, if God gives me my daily bread, why is He not the one waking up early and going to work for me? Right? Why is He not the one at work and having a clock in and out? But what do we see? We see that God is the one that gives us the strength to be able to do so. And so our petition of giving us our daily bread is showing God our dependence on Him. It's showing God that we understand that we cannot do anything without Him. We don't even have the strength to get up out of bed without God's provision. And so we acknowledge our dependence on God. And I see another example. If we've been reading along in the Bible reading plan that we have, if you've been reading along in Exodus, we see in Exodus chapter 16, we see the context of it is God delivers His people from the Pharaoh in the hands of slavery in Egypt. And we see that God here is providing for His people. And I want to read a couple of those verses for tonight in Exodus chapter 16, in verse 14, it says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And as I read this portion of the chapter, as you continue to read on, we see that God gives them this bread. And God sustains them. They are being fed by God on a daily basis through the manna. We see that He also gave them quail, but our focus tonight is on the manna. And verse 16, it says, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather it of every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And so God is providing for them. They're in the wilderness and the desert, and God is providing. And as we go down and continue to read in verse 19, it says, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Right, they didn't obey God by not gathering more than what they needed. And so it makes me think, why? Why we understand that God is powerful, and God could have made that bread last for eternity. A one-time provision that could have lasted. But we if we take the time to think about it, I thought to myself and I said, well, God is doing this so that they could realize that they depend on God and not their gatherings. They depend solely on what God is giving them and what God will give them. And as I continued to read it, each and every day it would go stink and it would breed worms. But we see also that on the sixth day, they gather 2 days worth for the Sabbath. And on that day, it didn't stink. It didn't breed worms. But it lasted on to the next day. And so, this is showing the people of God, and I believe this is showing us that we depend on everything. Everything that we have comes from God. And that includes our daily bread. That includes our strength on a day-to-day basis. And I believe that in order for them to have been able to go on about their day each and every day, it required faith that God was going to be the one that would give them their daily bread. It was God that was going to do it. And they understood that for the first 6 days, for the first 5 days, they saw that it would go bad. It would go sour. But on that sixth day, they saw that it would last on to the next day. It requires faith. And so, in order for us, what I was trying to get out of that was that we must understand that we depend on God, and we must have faith that God is the one that sustains us. We must believe that God is the one that gives us our daily provisions. And so I want to share with you also, my second point is God's forgiveness. In verse 12, we see, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I believe that here Jesus opens that up just a little more in verses 14 and 15. It says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's kind of hard to read. It's kind of difficult when we think about a personal application in our lives. And what I thought about when I read this verse is not that we are solely to come before God and ask him, God, forgive me for my sins today. Forgive me for the sins that I have committed before you. Forgive me for the ways that I have offended you. But it makes me think, how merciful are we being unto others? Are we forgiving those that trespass against us? Are we forgiving those around us, maybe our family members, or our brothers and sisters in the church, or our coworkers or friends? And so it really makes you think, and it really puts us in a situation where we are to examine our daily life, where we are to examine ourselves and say, am I forgiving others as much as I want God to forgive me? Am I demonstrating mercy unto others as much as God has demonstrated unto me? And so I think that would be the personal application that we get out of that verse. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's something we ought to think about. And we see also here in chapter 5, in the previous chapter, how God teaches us, how Jesus is teaching us how to treat our enemies, how to love our enemies. In verse 43, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And you don't have to answer me, but how well are we doing that? Believe me, it's hard for me as well, as I think about it. But if we expect God to forgive us, and we expect God to be merciful unto us, then we are also to be merciful unto others. We don't deserve God's mercy. And if we see in Matthew chapter 18, we also see Jesus is talking about the unforgiving servant. And we won't go there tonight, but when you get a chance, read it. I would encourage you to read. And that in that same way, that we would be willing to forgive and not hold on in the same way as the unforgiving servant. And we continue on to what would be my third point, is God's protection. God's protection. In verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see that we are asking God for his protection. And we may think to ourselves, well, we understand and we know that God does not tempt. Right? We see in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13, actually, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And so we understand, right? God is not going to lead us into temptation. But here it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I believe what it is saying is that God allows trials in our lives, that we can be tried. Although God does not tempt, and more so, God does not tempt with evil. We can see all throughout the scriptures that God allows testing of our faith. God allows us to be tested. And so, once again, in James chapter 1, and verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Us being tried is going to work patience. And it continues to say, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And the key word is being tried. The trying of our faith. And in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So we understand that God does not tempt, but God does allow trials in our lives. And we see the example as well in the life of Job. Right? God wasn't tempting Job, but God was allowing the trial in his life. And so, as we pray in this way, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, I think what we can see here is that God, you don't tempt. But if this trial is coming from you, then I trust and I believe and I have faith that you will deliver me from evil, that you will deliver me from the hands of the evil one. I believe that's what it's saying here. And so, if we continue to read, it says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Once again, we are praising God, and we understand that he would not lead us into temptation and deliver us from evil. And all of this comes together because we understand that the kingdom is of God, and we understand that he alone has the power. We understand that to God alone is the glory. And so, as we look at the way that Jesus is teaching us how to pray, my encouragement for you is that we would align our prayers with that which God has given us in his word, that we would examine our prayer life and think and meditate and truly analyze our way of praying. Have we been praying, putting ourselves first? Or are we praying, making our prayer life centered around God? Are we approaching God through an intimate relationship? Are we taking the time in our prayer life to praise his name and worship his person? Are we seeking God's will? Are we desiring for his perfect government, for his kingdom to come? Do we understand enough that God is the one that provides for us as we ask him to provide our daily bread? Are we being forgiving unto others as we want God to forgive us? And are we trusting in God's protection? I think those are the key 6 points that we see here. And believe me, I've had to plead unto God for forgiveness, because there's been times where I as well have put myself before God in my prayers. And so, I think that Jesus has given us the perfect outline, the perfect platform for prayer, and that we would be encouraged to align our prayers with the outline that Jesus has given us. And so as you pray, I encourage you to consider this. We need prayer. As Pastor was just saying tonight, we need to be a praying church. We need to be a praying people. The Word of God says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That we would constantly plead unto God, putting him first. And we know that he knows all of our needs before we ask of him. And so, I would like for us to think about this. I would encourage you to think about this. That when we pray, we would take that time with the Lord. And so with that, I want to close tonight and just ask you to meditate on that. Let's continue to pray into God. If we have been praying this way into the Lord, then praise God. If there's changes we need to make to our prayer life, then it's never too late. And so I want to go ahead and pray tonight and encourage you as well to stay with us tonight, that we would lift up our petitions that we have unto the Lord tonight and know that He hears us. And so let's go ahead and pray.